Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you may open our eyes so that we can see Jesus, so that we can experience him, so that we can leave this place knowing that he was here with us today. We pray this in his beautiful name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. What do you seek? What do we seek? I asked my dad, "Dad, what do human beings seek?" He said, "Some pleasure, basic. That's what they live for themselves. Nothing bad in pleasure, but does it last long in this earth?" It doesn't. It goes just for a little bit. He said, "Others, they work hard. And they put those talents that God has given them to use. They research. They build. They try to make this place a better world." But does that give also lasting satisfaction? No, it doesn't. And then he said, there are those who seek God on a daily basis. They search him. They look to have a strong relationship with him and with those around him. Does that bring satisfaction, brothers and sisters? Amen. Amen. We found that to bring great satisfaction. I don't know if you've been listening to the news, but Egypt's in big trouble. In big trouble, and it's caused other nations around Egypt to think about, even if they will permit their citizens to use this, a cell phone. I spoke with somebody this weekend. He said, "Can you imagine? You can start a revolution by texting these days." That's how it happened in Tunisia. That's how it continued in Egypt. And I believe Syria said, "Let's cut out cell phone communication." What are people looking for? What are they seeking? Today, in Davos, Switzerland, they finished this big series of meetings. They do this every year. 2,000 of the most powerful men, women of this world get together. These are business leaders. These are politicians. These are royalty, princes and kings and queens. And they come together and they try to find a solution to the problems of this world. I heard a businessman describe what happened in the last 3 years as a major heart attack to the financial system. A major heart attack that had not happened in decades. And they were worried, what are we going to do? And their plan was to rethink, redesign, rebuild. Because the way things were going, we could end up destroying what we now enjoy. One of the ladies there said, "You know, from the solutions that I've been listening to, some of you think that human beings will do the right thing. You will share, you will help. But I see others of you that see human beings like they're not going to do the right thing. So we need to implement more laws, be a little more forceful." And she just brought it up as an observation. What are human beings looking for? What are they seeking these days? Are we all seeking for something? I think it's part of our nature. I would go outside and I was like, wow. 6, 7 years old. Collect stones, sticks. Bring them home. You think I had enough? Go back outside the next day, bring more. And the closet just got full of these things. And my mom would say, "Hey, you need to take them out. You can't keep them here. I was in Albania after the country pretty much became a democratic country after 30 years of dictatorship. And I would see people walking outside. There was something like 60, 70% unemployment at the time. And you saw thousands of people walking outside at 7 a.m. And I asked, what are they doing? They're just talking. But I think they were seeking for something, looking for something, a better tomorrow. And this question comes in Scripture. And it was brought about by Jesus himself. Two disciples, two men who were following John the Baptist, heard from his own lips, "Behold, look, see the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of this world." They heard, they saw, but they weren't sure. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the answer to our problems? Could this be the solution we've been longing for throughout all these years? And the following day, they heard John the Baptist say it again. "Behold, the Lamb of God." But this time, they made a decision. That was to follow Jesus. And you find this in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing and two of his disciples. And he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Have you had anybody follow you? I was one of the ones who I would see my uncle go out, and what did I want to do? I wanted to go with him. I wanted to get in his car, go where he went. I wanted to see what he did. But my uncle most of the time would tell me, "Sam, you need to stay home." Oh. You have to stay home. But these two disciples decided they were going to follow Jesus. And Jesus noticed, hey, somebody's following me. Somebody is looking for me. And he asked the question we will be discussing today. What do you seek? Verse 38. What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you desire? What was it? They answered him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying? Where do you live?" Has anybody asked you that question? Interview for a job? Where do you live? Fill out a school application? So where do you live and what do you want to do in this program? And depending on your answer, you'll be accepted or rejected. Questions, important questions. Where do you live? Did they just want to be polite and start a conversation there? Or were they looking for something deeper, something stronger? I think Jesus picked up on it and he said, "You want to know where I live? Come and see. Come and see. I'll show you. You'll have the experience of knowing where I live." Does a house tell a lot about people? If you come to my place, you'll find a place with a lot of lighthouses, a lot of boats, pictures from the sea. And you might have the conclusion that I like water, the ocean. They wanted to know where Jesus lived. They wanted to know who he was. And they could be thankful because somebody had pointed out to them, that is the Lamb of God. That is the Messiah. That is the person you need to know. I was traveling when I was a kid with my mom, my sister, to West Palm Beach, Florida. We were in Mexico, in Monterrey, and flying to Houston. And when we got to Houston, they told us, you need to take a train. A train? In the airport? Yes, you need to take a train. And it's going to take you to this gate, and from there you're going to get on this plane and head to West Palm Beach, Florida. That was our first time there. And we were kids, so my mom grabbed our hands, and she looked, and she started to think, where are we going now? What are we going to do? And all of a sudden, this big, tall man came up to her and said, I can take you there. You can take me there? I can take you there. So she grabbed our hands really tightly, and we got on this train. And we sat down, and the man started to speak to us. We were so focused where we were going to go, what gate it was, what plane we needed to get on, that we weren't paying too much attention to what he was telling us. But I remember him telling us, my kids, they've traveled the world. They know several languages. I remember him telling us that because of his line of work and other things, his home had broken up. And he had gone to visit his son in Monterrey. I heard that he was an opera singer, but we knew very little about opera. So we were just smiling politely and focused as to where we were headed, where we needed to get that plane. And then he brought us there. And he said, I'm going to go to this other place they have prepared for me, and I'll be back before your flight leaves just to make sure you're on that plane. And we smiled and said, thank you. And my mom gave him a signs of the time. That's all we had. So she gave it to him. When we got to Florida, saw on TV, I said, hey, that looks like the man we saw on the plane. And my family members looked at me and said, yeah, that's Plácido Domingo. Oh, famous opera singer. Oh, cool. So focused on a plane, so focused where we were going, that we didn't know that we were flying with Plácido Domingo. Can it be that we are so focused in what we're seeking that we forget who Jesus is and that he is willing to travel with us, go with us, and help us get to our destination? Where do you live? The disciples asked him. And he said, come! And I can see him almost jumping out of joy, saying, yeah! That's what we wanted to hear. Come! Come! It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was kind of late. So they must have said, these 2 hours before the sun goes down, we're going to make sure we find out who he is. We're going to ask him questions. We don't know how long they stayed there. But those minutes, those hours, made the biggest difference in their life. Not just their life, as we're going to read. It made the biggest difference to their family and to their friends. If you read with me, verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him,
We have found him. We have found him, Peter. We have found him. And I can imagine Simon saying, who did you find? The Messiah, the one we've been looking for, hoping for, waiting for. He's here. We found him. And then Andrew did the following. He took his brother and said, come, let's go see Jesus. Verse 42, he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which translated means Peter, the stone. Here, Peter was seeing somebody who knew everything about him and still loved him. Amen? He was confronted with somebody who knew him. This must be the Messiah. Verse 43, the next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and this was Jesus. And he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Do you think Philip had heard something from his friends? I think he had heard about Jesus. So when Jesus invited him to follow him, he was more than ready to follow. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This was his friend. And he wanted his friend to know. But Nathanael was a cautious man. So he said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Have you tried telling a family member or a friend about Jesus? And have you found it to be a little difficult? They're not as excited as you are about it. They have a lot of questions and suppositions, and they say, no, it can't be like you tell me. That's what Nathanael did. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Especially when he had met Jesus, seen this man with simple clothing, a simple man, can that be the Messiah? How did Philip answer? That he said, well, let me give you a Bible study now. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Or let's go to the book of Leviticus. And I'm going to prove it to you that he's the Messiah. What did Philip do or say? Come and see. Come and experience it, Nathanael. Come. I can't tell you. I really don't have the words to express who this man is. But what he can do for you and for me is incredible. Come and see. Last week we had the opportunity of having the GC president here. He came and saw Fallbrook. Amen? And I know he saw people that love Jesus. He saw Brother George, Brother Pete at the door saying hello to everyone. They experienced it. And how many of you don't want your family members and your friends to experience it? You want them to come here, to fellowship with us, to worship with us. And you probably have the question that many of us have. How? And when do we tell them? How can I invite my daughter, my son, my father, my mother to come here and experience what we experience on a weekly basis? I think the answer is here. Come and see. Come and see. Don't come to see Pastor Sam. Mm-mm. Or
the leaders. Come and see who? Jesus. Meet him, know him, experience him. So Nathanael said, what can I lose? I'll go and see this supposedly Messiah. And Jesus saw him, verse 47, saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold an Israelite, indeed in whom is no guile. Behold an honest person. Behold a trustworthy person. And Nathanael was surprised and said to him, how do you know me? How does God know you? Does he know what you think? Does he know what you're going through? I want to say yes. He knows even how many hairs you have on your head. He knows everything about you. But he said this to Nathanael. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. If you think that nobody's watching you, if you think you're not important, you're very important to God. He has seen you. He knows you. And what was Nathanael doing there? Spirit of prophecy tells us that he was praying for a sign. Is that the Messiah? Is that really him? And the only thing Jesus had to say was, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip came to you. And look at the response that Nathanael gave to Jesus. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Amen? Is Jesus your King? Is Jesus our King? Yes, we have recognized that he is the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. Do we want to see greater things, brothers and sisters? We do. We all do. We can't wait to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each one of us. We can't wait to see what God is going to be doing to solve the problems of this world, and especially the problem that every human being experienced, the problem of sin. He gave us Jesus, but how many have accepted what he has done? Very few. How many know about what he has done? Very few. But the invitation is that each one of us share with our friends, with our neighbors, with our family, what Jesus has done for us. I have a quote here, if I can find it. Maybe not. I probably left it somewhere. Let me see if I have it here. If not, that's okay. When Jesus spoke with Nathanael, and Nathanael, in his mind, was longing to know if that was Jesus, longing to know if he was the Messiah, the Spirit of prophecy tells us that he came to the knowledge of Jesus through a friend. And he came to the knowledge of Jesus because, yes, he saw that Jesus was the one whom the prophets had talked about and who the Old Testament, Moses, had spoken about. He had been preparing. He had been studying. And when the moment came that Jesus was presented to him, he accepted Jesus. Thank you very much. These notes are helpful, believe it or not. Philip called Nathanael. If Nathanael had trusted to the rabbis for guidance, he would never have found Jesus. It was by seeing and judging for himself that he became a disciple. So in the case of many today whom prejudice withholds from good, how different would be the result if they would come and see? Like Nathaniel, we need to study God's word for ourselves and pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. He who saw Nathaniel under the fig tree will see us in the secret place of prayer. Angels from the world of light are near to those who in humility seek for divine guidance. Amen? That's what is promised. All those who seek will receive divine guidance. What are you seeking for? Are we seeking for Jesus to know him better? Are we seeking to share him with those around us? I pray that that is what we are seeking for. And Jesus told something to Nathanael that is very important. And he said, Nathanael, is that why you're following me? Just because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? Do you believe? Verse 51, and he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What a privilege. What a privilege. I want to think that this promise is for us today too, that we will see the heavens opened. But this time it's not going to be the angels of God ascending and descending. This time it's going to be his Holy Spirit coming down upon his people and proclaiming the message that Jesus is coming again. Amen. That we can know him. That we can experience him. That we all have the privilege of coming to this place and seeing who he is. Amen.